Hello, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor. That flapping sound you hear in the background is the terror that flaps in the night, known as Sean Paul Ellis. What's going on over there, bud?
David, how are you doing?
Hey, making some strange noises to start the show. That's good stuff.
I'm excited.
Well, I am too. Let's get into it. And he is the jailer that throws away the key? Matt Barron joining us from San Francisco. What's up, buddy?
I don't know how to feel about that intro, but you know what? I'll take it.
You know what? So we're obviously talking about Darkwing Duck today, and he's a character that's kind of known for his catchphrase, which was, "I am the terror that flaps in the night," and then he comes up with just some terrible follow-up that's usually like a pun on whatever the current situation is, but getting very far ahead of myself. So that'll be the show we're talking about today. We're going to switch things up just a little bit here. We're actually going to talk about what the series kind of is overall first, and then we'll delve into the history of the show because it's got a little bit more meat on it than some of the shows that we normally talk about. So, Matt, do you want to give the listeners just a little bit of a flavor of what the show's about?
Absolutely. So the show that we are talking about, Darkwing Duck, was actually produced by Disney, and it was Disney Afternoon's first series that emphasized action rather than adventure. But basically what it was Darkwing Duck was the main character who was a crime fighter. He had several, sidekicks and people who kind of, were part of the Justice Ducks as we kind of get ahead of ourselves there, but unassuming man by day, hero by night. His daytime name was Drake Mallard. He lived in Saint Canard, but actually by night he was Darkwing Duck, and was just your kind of standard classic Disney crime fighter.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's a lot of kind of cool history here. Like Matt said, this was a Disney production, but when you watch it, it kind of has a feel of like an old Looney Tunes kind of slapstick, jokey humor, but also some of the Disney flavor to it as well. Since this one actually wasn't just a completely... it had origins in another series, let's put it that way. It was an original creation, but it had its origins in another series. So actually, DuckTales ran before this, and there were a few characters that were ported over for this kind of spin-off series. And the world of Duckburg, which is the city in DuckTales, and Saint Canard, which is the city in Darkwing Duck, they apparently kind of exist in the same world. So this originally ran from only 91 to 92, and they cranked out 91 episodes, I believe, in that time. And as we've talked about on this show, that's just like an enormous output. I don't know how exactly they do it, but it was basically like, it ran for almost like one a day. So it was like a Monday through Friday show for a while. If you think about it, it really was only on for about a year and a half, the original episodes, and then it ran in syndication until 1995. So it was on for 4 or 5 years, but it was really only those 90 episodes that were produced. So that's pretty
crazy.
Which
blows my mind, yeah, because, when I was a kid watching the show, I probably watched it in syndication in, right, like the mid-90s, but, I just feel like it was on TV forever.
Yeah, and it pretty much was. I mean, 5 years, 5 years, half a decade, when you're in the mid-90s, that does seem like it's just kind of on forever. And it got jumbled around, it was in afternoons, it was probably on some, Saturday mornings there for a while, but, it was kind of just, always on. We do want to talk about...
And, Dave,
yeah,
did you mention it was 91 episodes and it was over 3 seasons?
Yeah, over 3 seasons. And the IMDb breakdown was kind of weird, because it was, they had like one run of seasons that was like 60 episodes, and then the other two were broken down into 15. So I don't quite know how that works out, and the dates didn't really match up either. But regardless, a year and a half, 90 episodes, and then they ran that in syndication for 5 more. The interesting story that kind of was behind this, we'll delve into the history a little bit more than we usually do just to start this off. So like I said, it started off as a spinoff from the DuckTales series. Now there was one particular episode of DuckTales called 00 Duck, and that starred Launchpad McQuack, who we'll see quite often in this new series, starred him as a secret agent. So that was just kind of a one-off from DuckTales. He was a secret agent. The powers that be over at Disney decided they liked that idea, and they wanted to develop a spin-off series with that kind of premise in mind. So a fellow by the name of Tad Stones, who had been working with the Disney Animation in the television department since, I believe, 1984, since its inception. He was there kind of from the beginning, and he's worked on a ton of stuff, the Aladdin series, DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, just a ton of stuff. And he basically came up with the idea for Darkwing Duck. Now, originally, as Wikipedia cites, he was kind of reluctant about how he wanted to spin this thing off. He didn't think it was going to have a lot of emotional impact, or he just felt like it was kind of a thin approximation or a thin adaptation. So originally he had a pitch that still, I believe, had Launchpad McQuack as the central character. It had Gizmo Duck showing up. Basically, that was all rejected. So he went back to the drawing board, and he went back to sort of the golden age of heroes and the golden age of comics with characters like The Shadow and Doc Savage, and definitely a lot of Batman influence, which we'll talk about on this show, because Darkwing, the hero, takes a lot from The Shadow, takes a lot from Batman, and then his villains, which are my favorite part of the show, take a lot from the different rogues galleries. But basically, he went back to the drawing board. He stopped doing the sort of the James Bond idea, which was actually good because the 00 moniker is actually kind of owned by the James Bond, not company, but it's basically owned by them. So you can't really use it without getting sued. So it's a good thing that he dropped that. And then it turned
out. So they couldn't use like 00 Duck?
So actually it's kind of funny. There's an in-joke later on in the series in Darkwing Duck in an episode called A Duck by Any Other Name. And Darkwing is talking to Launchpad, and he's like, man, maybe I should change my name. Maybe I should get a new alias. And he's like, how about 00 Duck? And Launchpad's like, eh, that sounds kind of silly. So that's like the only time they ever reference it again, which I thought was pretty cool. Pretty cool idea, just going back to the history of it. So that's pretty much it, just to get you caught up on the history. I like that history more so than some of the other ones, because a lot of the ones we've talked about so far, they're like a toy company trying to push a cartoon to sell more toys. And that's all well and good. I mean, that's basically what the 80s and 90s were all about. But this one actually had a little bit more meat to it. As for the show itself, we'll talk about like how we remember it as kids and how we see it again coming back as 30-somethings, just trying to revisit it because I think it lost some of its luster. But let's get into the characters so we know who we're talking about and get an idea of the people that populate this show. So who wants to talk about our title hero here?
So I'll dive into that.
Take
so Darkwing Duck, a.k.a. Drake Mallard, voiced by Jim Cummings. You know, he was the average citizen by day, superhero by night, kind of that classic story. But at the same time, he really, like his characters animated in the series, really had a lot of the Disney hallmarks, you know, kind of the slapstick comedy, you know, the good-natured person, like when he, you know, adopts Goslin Mallard, who was the orphan you meet in literally the first episode. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of like kind of that Disney family theme, you know, kind of overtone. But at the same time, you know, he's kind of like the first action hero from Disney that I really remember. You know, I'm sure Disney had, you know, other series with, you know, a sort of action type character, but he was the first one with really an action focus. And in the show, he really pursues that. You know, it's not, you know, like a side story or like a main story with action on the side. It's really,
right.
You know, he's pursuing crime fighting. It's really, you know, that is the focus of the show.
Oh, dude. And it's like his life too. Like he even has this little like soliloquy where he's like, he's kind of depressed for a second. He's like, man, crime fighting is literally all I have. I have no friends. I have no family. Yeah. Crime fighting is all I have. And he's kind of like, he pursues the limelight, but yeah, go ahead, Sean.
It's very sad. It's actually like a very troubling story of just like how unbelievably vain he is and egotistical in terms of being able to, you know, to fight crime. Like his motivation is simply to be in the spotlight. It's not to clean up the streets. It's not to make St. Canard a better place. It is simply to get him on the front page and make himself a household name. And I mean, it's just the level of arrogance that you see like is unparalleled. And I mean, like to have this be in a Disney cartoon.
Yeah, it was a little strange, a little jarring.
Is very, very weird. I was going to say to continue with talking about the characters and to quote Scott Pilgrim. Okay, let's start with Launchpad McQuack. As Dave, as you had mentioned,
done.
Thank you.
It took me a second.
As you had mentioned, he was one of the biggest ports from DuckTales.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you really don't see him in the first episode. The first episode, we should mention, is a two-parter.
Right.
And so you don't see him in this first episode until Darkwing is, like, really kind of encountering sort of the main problem, which is fighting the villain Taurus Bulba,
voiced by Tim Curry, which is awesome.
Correct. Yeah. And so, so as he's fighting Taurus Bulba, which I'm going to say Taurus Bulba every time,
because
I'm
they certainly did
Taurus Bulba, yep. Because they say it.
He's got this annoying kind of like assistant secretary who's like real bitchy, and just every time he orders her to do something, she's just like, yes, Taurus Bulba. It's very strange. At least 6 or 7 times in the first episode, but yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, but like I don't remember in DuckTales, I don't remember Launchpad being such a doofus.
I can't remember. We'd have to go back and watch it again. Matt, do you remember him being that retarded?
He kind of was. And when you look at DuckTales, just kind of taking a one off for a second, You know, there was like with Huey, Dewey, and Lewis, mm-hmm. there was kind of a lot of comic relief there.
But Huey, Dewey, and Lewis?
Huey, Lewis, and the News, and Dewey.
Yeah, my bad. That's whatever. Cool. I spaced. Whatever.
I just didn't say it because I knew I would have fucked it up, so I just left it alone.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
There we go.
They nailed it. You got it.
Lewis, my bad. So,
but they were the goofy parts for DuckTales, kind of.
Can we record over
that? Whenever you want to edit. Right. No, we don't have editing capability here at SMC.
Nope. Great. But at any rate, Launchpad was kind of like on top of that. He was kind of more like slapstick versus, you know, when you look at, DuckTales itself, there was a lot of like built-in comedy, but he was more like the physical comedy for that. Yeah. But in this show, he was actually more written in actually as like kind of a stand-in character with like, you know, more dialogue comedy. And it was interesting, like in an episode that I watched about half of called Tiff of the Titans, actually that was kind of a crossover where Fenton, or the guy that plays
Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo. Yeah. So he actually comes in and. One of the lines that I picked up from like the first half of the episode was they say it was something like, you know, we used to work for the same guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just so like kind a of nod like, to DuckTales and Scrooge.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, the usual like tip of the hat. So it was really interesting in that way. Just the difference between DuckTales and then Darkwing Duck. The same character, just written in different ways. I thought it was
kind of
cool.
Yeah, he's kind of a dumb in this one, though, just because he's kind of like his pilot, his mechanic, but he has this weird, like, tick of, like, driving things backwards, whether it's a plane, which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any
except
sense.
For cartoon physics, or, like, he just crashes through stuff. It's very odd. It's just kind of strange. Just like a weird
quirk
that
here's
he has.
The thing, is that if Launchpad McQuack was your sidekick in any crime-fighting scenario, you'd be dead within the first 5 minutes.
Well, let's talk about that, because even the rest of the Justice Ducks, which we'll get into, honestly, like Goslin, the little 9-year-old kind of Spitfire duck, she's probably the smartest and most capable.
Crime,
yeah.
She's a better crime-fighter than grown adult Launchpad.
He's surrounded by idiots. So Darkwing, he's not great himself, let's be honest. He just kind of lucks into things, which I think is why, even as a kid, I had issues with him as a hero, because he just kind of bumbles his way through things.
Can we talk about that? Because you said, because I know you alluded to it earlier, but I mean, I know we're talking about it now, sure. Like the contrast between what you saw when you were a child versus like now as a 30-something, like when you're watching it, how you're feeling.
Well, look, even as a kid, I can remember never quite being a huge fan of Darkwing. I kind of like rolled my eyes at a lot of the stuff that he did. I like the villains, I'll be honest. I really like the villains in this because I felt like in most episodes, the villain should have won except for their infighting amongst themselves. That's really the only thing that ever prevented them from losing. They usually like were really close to winning, and then because they fought amongst themselves, they would lose.
Right.
It had nothing to do with like the tact or the strategy or the intelligence of the heroes.
Right.
They're just like bumbling idiots, and they really just kind of luck. And I compared it this way, like the Adam West version of Batman.
No, I wrote the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's like, the closest comparison I can think versus any other Batman, honestly.
I wrote that this is like a mashup of Adam West Batman, and like then they picked certain elements from DC's Batman as well as also from Marvel Shield.
Like, yeah, they do have a lot
of
those
like the Nick Fury
kind of,
like Shield pieces. Like there were so much things that they were just like, yeah, we like this one element. We'll pull it over and we'll adapt it into the show.
You can, as a fan of like comics and stuff, comic fans can see like exactly what, there's a lot of like very obvious parallels between villains or between the heroes themselves. Like Gizmo Duck is very obviously kind of like a RoboCop type character. A lot of the villains are ported over almost exactly with origins and stuff from other villains in the comics, just with like a funnier kind of origin, more of kind of like an on the nose kind of origin, which is
fun. And whenever we talk about them, I went down and I like listed all of the different comparisons to everything for.
And actually,
everybody.
We should. I want to get over the.
I wanted to say I remember watching this. Like in contrast to what you were saying, like I actually remember watching this on TV, and I loved this show. Like this is one of my favorite. Mm. Like aside from maybe like Saved by the Bell, you know, this is like one of my favorite cartoons to like come home and like watch like after school, and like watching it now, it was bizarre, and like there were moments that were like really really unbelievably grating, and I don't know what it is, I don't know, and like I don't know if I'm just being cynical.
Yeah, I think it's just like the age range. Well, Matt, this was actually your pick, so what I'm curious to know what you think of, like, when you watched it as a kid versus going back and revisiting it. I will say real quick that we were all actually lucky enough to hang out together in D.C. this weekend for Matt's bachelor party, and we did take about an hour out of our time to watch the parts 1 and 2 of the first episode. So that was really cool to be able to hang out with these guys in person because now we're spread all across the country again. So, yeah, what was your feeling between watching it as a kid and then going back, you know, 20-some years later?
You know, I got to say, the first two episodes that we watched, you know, Darkwing Duck kind of, you know, held a really, you know, high place in my, you know, cartoon memory. Yep. But going back and watching the first two episodes, by about 5 minutes into the episode, I was like, wow, talk about fall from grace. I mean, it was pretty brutal. But I think that's because, kind of the other shows we watched, you know, the first 2, 3, like 5 episodes, they're kind of like finding their stride.
Exactly.
Because when we watched Justice Ducks, which was later in the series, you know, I was like, ah, this is what I remember.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the first two episodes, I was like, yikes, I remember this being totally different.
And we weren't even joking about it. We were just kind of like, ooh, this is kind of cringy.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Darkwing Duck from like the pilot is almost like I was equating it to like if Batman had like solved a crime, or if he had like beaten up a bad guy and then was just like, oh, just so you know, I'm doing this because my parents died because of another criminal.
Yeah, every time.
Also,
if he did it every time.
Would you take my photo and make sure that it got to the paper?
Yeah, here's a headshot.
Batman, spelled B-A-T-M-A-N.
It was that kind of take on Batman's character, like not the self-sacrificing hero, but the hero that was doing it for the limelight. So that was just a little
weird. Well, I mean, like, he did it only for himself. Yeah. I mean, that was the entire point, was that, like, he was doing it just for him.
Well, and I'll say why that was important, because we do have Gosselin come in, who Baron mentioned earlier. It's this 9-year-old kid. She was orphaned at a young age, raised by her grandfather, who's like a famous scientist. He gets killed by the main villain in the first episode. So she kind of crosses paths with Darkwing Duck. Long story short, his alter ego adopts her, so they kind of become like this crime-fighting duo. And that actually is good for him. That shows kind of like some character development for him, because he starts to care for her like his own daughter, and it gives him a reason to fight crime above and beyond his own kind of selfish interests, which was pretty sophisticated for one of these cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah. And in much later episodes, there's the whole idea of Gosselin being like kidnapped.
Yeah, pretty dark,
and
actually.
And there's a parallel universe where like Darkwing becomes a supervillain as a result of Gosselin being kidnapped and him not being able to deal and cope with the idea. Like, really, the only fear that Darkwing Drake Mallard has is any harm coming to Gosselin Waddlemeyer. Now, I guess Gosselin Mallard.
Gosselin Mallard, yeah. So before we get into the Negaverse and all the craziness that entails, which was actually a pretty cool kind of plot line for a show like this, I want to just kind of lightning round some of these Justice Ducks. Now, these are the allies of Darkwing Duck, because as things develop, he gets more and more villains. He stops doing some solo adventures, and he actually kind of has to team up with some people. So let's lightning round through these guys. I've got the other four besides Launchpad and Gosselin. Do you guys remember? Well, obviously Gizmo Duck. We should probably start with him.
So there was Gizmo Duck. Yeah. There was Morgana. Mm-hmm. Who was also Darkwing's love interest.
Oh, she calls him Dark. It's so weird. It's like,
so bizarre.
Because Launchpad calls him DW, she just calls him Dark, which is weird, but whatever.
Right.
But Gizmo Duck, everybody kind of knows, too. He's like kind of the RoboCop. He's a little goofy, too. But
so Morgana was more kind of like a like Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah, she started off more on the villainous side of a magic user.
Real right. Bride of Frankenstein.
Very Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah. Yeah.
Very Bride of Frankenstein.
She got the hair. She got the like.
I was thinking like Elvira. Like she kind of had like a Mistress of the Dark like Elvira kind of vibe to her as well. But I think Matt, you're more accurate with Bride.
Or the who's the one from Adam's Family? Morticia.
Morticia. Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of had. I mean, the dress was the same kind of that like. You know, flare out at the bottom thing. Well,
and the design is interesting because they had to separate her from Magica Dispel, which was the sort of sorceress duck from DuckTales. They had this weird thing to just be like, yeah, fuck it, let's just shoehorn magic in here for no reason. But whatever, it kind of worked.
Oh, and her magic power is that she can turn everything into pudding. Perfect.
Yeah, well, she's actually pretty powerful. Like, she can just turn things into anything else. Like, she turned a stove into, like, a guy playing an accordion one time for no reason.
Yeah, super powerful.
Funny, but she's just powerful. Like, she's really bad at aiming, and she's bad at remembering like what words to use for what spell. So she turns Darkwing Duck into like a variety of different things.
Hey, just David, she's a shitty wizard.
She's a shizzard. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
She's terrible.
But speaking of terrible sidekicks, the two that are kind of like throwaways for me, which look like somebody just doodled these things out and was just like, "Fuck it, it's good enough. We got to go into production." There's Neptunia. Which is this little, like, tadpole-looking thing with legs. Ugh. And she's supposed to be, like, the protector of the sea. So she's kind of, like, the shittier Aquaman.
Was she a tadpole, or was she, like, a full...
I don't know
She was, like, a fish with legs.
But
it
kind
weird.
Of is, like, it was a weird-looking just little blob of a creature.
All right.
I think the word you're looking there, Sean, is missing link.
You could say she's like a mud skipper, basically. She's a mud skipper.
I mean, I had to give him 2 points for the name just because, like, the Neptunia. I was like, all right, I'll give it to you, but the rest of it, I was like, and this is a trash.
She basically all
like
she does
giving
is like
reluctant points. You're just like, to you, but like I'm not happy about it.
I'm not happy. Well, she does is like something falls in the ocean and she just like spears it with her like trident, drops it in front of Darkwing's feet and just be like, is this yours? And then just jumps back into the water. She doesn't do a whole lot except like keep trash out of the ocean. That's about
it. Well, the amazing thing is that she's completely contrasted in terms of stature by
anyone else. Yeah, anyone else, but especially Stegmont.
No, by Stegmont.
Stegmont is the worst.
Who's got his origin? Because his origin might be my favorite. It's kind of a Toxic Avenger meets...
He was a duck janitor, and like he got exposed to some like fossil.
A mad scientist named Dr. Fossil.
Dr. Fossil. Did he experiment on him?
He had some sort of ray gun, I think, that like turned other things into dinosaurs. So like Darkwing was actually a dinosaur for part of that episode. They turned him back, but for whatever reason, which I can't remember, Stegmont decided to just stay this like 8 foot tall bipedal stegosaurus mongoloid. He's not real bright. He's just kind of
mongoloid is pretty discreet.
He's just kind of like he's got a child's mind, and he's kind of the team's muscle.
Let's just say he's very simple.
He's very simple. Like you know, you can take the Fantastic Four's the thing. And dumb him down.
And then dumb him down to like an IQ of like zero.
He's more like the Thing version from the Venture Brothers. He's kind of like that level. So he's just their dumb muscle. But now do you guys have anything more for Justice Ducks? I really do want to talk about Fearsome Five because they're my favorite.
No, let's go to Fearsome Five now.
Oh, they're so good. I'm going to leave Negaduck for the last because he's pretty awesome. So
I'm going to get into Quackerjack.
You like Quackerjack? Let's do that.
Quackerjack is the equivalent of the Joker.
Yes.
He has basically the same arsenal as the Joker. And like it's uncanny. I mean, they put him in like a... In sort of like a court jester's
he's in a Harlequin
like
kind
outfit. And it's perfect. He's a wonderful villain.
He's nuts.
You know, I kind of got more Riddler than Joker.
It's a weird combination of the two. Yeah, okay, or like even Toyman a little bit because he's like a deranged toy maker that uses them to like commit crimes. And the Joker thing comes from him just causing chaos. Like sometimes he doesn't really have a plan. He just does things just to see what happens. So that's a very
Joker.
Some
people just want to see the world burn.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a very Joker kind of thing to do. Matt, did you have a favorite villain of these guys?
You know, actually, I really liked the Liquidator.
Okay. Oh. I fucking hate that guy so much.
What?
Okay. I hate him so much.
Okay.
Do you know his actually on this on the site this week, I did a little bit more prep for our viewers and listeners. If you guys go to the site, there is a walkthrough of all the different characters. So if you need like a visual to look at as we're talking about this, I'd recommend checking out the site and checking the name. But go ahead, Matt. Tell us about Liquidator and his terrible origin story.
Okay.
It's so bad.
I had to look it up after watching Justice Ducks because I was like, I've just got to know. So recapping it, he's a – okay, and the puns are starting right from the beginning.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah.
So the Liquidator is a dog, but he is a slimy dog salesman who was in the bottled water business.
So I had to read that a couple of times because I'm like, is he selling slimy dogs? Is he a slimy salesman of dogs? Is he a dog who's a slimy salesman?
Okay, but what was his name before he became the Liquidator?
Bud Flood.
Yeah.
God damn it.
But he fell into a vat of the competitor's water, which I was like, that would have been a great, like, kind of Two-Face sort of thing.
It's very much one of those origins just made completely goofy. Yeah.
Exactly. But I was like, the thing that I loved about watching the Liquidator in Justice Ducks was the fact that not only did he have the Liquidator kind of like the sales attitude, but he would, like, and just like everything was like a sales pitch or like – kind of like a sales tagline.
He's got that smarmy kind of like used car salesman.
He's like a snake oil salesman.
Oh, exactly.
So irritating.
But at the same time, like, you know, I could just see, you know, before I watched the episode before I looked up his story and I was like, you know, God, this guy, like the Liquidator thing, like he's got to be some kind of salesman. And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, it's all coming together in all the wrong way.
That's such a brilliant – like, I would have loved to be in the writer's room for that one when they broke that character. Just been
exactly.
Like, just crushing the puns left and right.
Yeah. I mean, it – you know, it was, like, kind of like a – you know, just a hilarious moment for me because it was, like, one of those, like, classic Disney villains who, you know, was just really cheesy but at the same time kind of had, like – a little bit of a story behind the cheese, like something that was just like motivating the cheese.
Yeah, and we didn't get to see it in Justice Ducks, but he has these two like sidekick like mascots that are kind of like female fluid creatures, I think. That like
did you look up the name of the episode in which they debuted in?
No, which one was that, Dino?
It was called Dry Hard.
Yep. Oh, Jesus. My favorite thing about this villain, actually, with all the villains, is kind of like how they defeat them. All right, so well, let's save that for the episode plot because that's kind of like a final moment of the Justice Ducks. But I do want to talk about Megavolt because he's probably my favorite. I think he was actually Tad Stone, the creator. I think that was his favorite character too, his favorite villain. That's why this guy shows up like the most out of anything. He's got a bizarre kind of like origin story. He was basically like this rat humanoid that was a nerdy high school student, and he actually went to St. Canard High with Drake Mallard. So their story goes all the way back to high school, and the first time that they battle is in senior prom. So I guess Megavolt kind of like he gets his electrical powers from some like a sabotaged electrical experiment, and he just becomes, well, first of all, he's completely insane. He's nuts. He thinks all electrical appliances and light bulbs and anything with like a battery in it is like a living animate object that he needs to liberate and like make friends with. He's really bizarre. He's got a weird like obsessive compulsive kind of condition, but basically he tries to like destroy senior prom, and originally Drake Mallard takes on the Darkwing persona all the way back at his senior prom to prevent him from doing that. So that's kind of like a weird origin story that pops up kind of out of nowhere, but this guy's nuts, and as you might imagine, Megavolt and Liquidator don't quite get along so well because electricity and water do not often mix. So that's kind of an interesting kind of play that they have within the Fearsome Five. The fourth member of the Fearsome Five is also a fun one. His name's Dr. Reginald Bushroot. You want to take that one, Sean?
God.
He's fun. I like him.
Bushroot. Yeah, I like Bushroot as well.
He's
like,
a sweet guy.
I didn't see any problem with him. He was actually more of kind of like the more sympathetic villains that they had that were kind of in the Fearsome Five.
Yeah,
like,
he was really sad.
He was essentially... he's very sad.
Yeah.
It's depressing to watch. So Reginald Bushroot is more, he's kind of like if you were to like Poison Ivy from Batman.
Yeah, but and she has her sympathetic moment. She actually kind of turns kind of hero later on too. Yeah.
And so he was trying to do some like DNA fusion between like plants and animals.
As you do.
Yeah, of course, 100%. And so, you know, he ended up He was successful with the experiment, but it was obviously at a price of like combining him into this half plant, half duck creature. Right. So he has, just like Poison Ivy, he has control over all the plants that are around him.
Yeah, so, and he's got kind of like these little sidekicks. One's kind of like a Venus flytrap dog.
Yeah.
Another one is like this weird vampiric potato, which was very trippy and kind of strange, that kind of came out of his like side experiments and stuff. But he's fine. I mean, most of the time he's just trying to like find a girlfriend or a friend, actually, which is kind of a weird side story, because it's like he's almost got that Mr. Freeze kind of thing where he's like, he's more like doing it out of love or trying to, but failing miserably. And of course, being part of the Fearsome Five doesn't help. Now, anything else from these four? Because we need to talk about Negaduck before we move on to the plot.
Let's get into Negaduck.
Negaduck. First of all, the coolest thing about him, I think, is that he's voiced by Jim Cummings, who's the same guy that voices Darkwing Duck. So,
which got a little confusing for me watching Justice Docs.
Well, the thing that I really liked about that is that it was really kind of like the yin and yang thing. Yep. So it was like Darkwing Duck is good, Negaduck is bad. I mean, obviously the Negaduck name aside, the the scene where I think it was right after Darkwing Duck, you know, mysteriously found out where their hideout was with the huge flag on top.
Yes,
but they like did that kind of like saying the same thing at the same time. I was like, well, obviously they're voiced by the same people, but I thought it was really interesting how like Darkwing Duck was, you know, kind of the all good, and Negaduck was kind of the all bad.
Super,
you know.
Super.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was like,
yeah, he was like a bizarro Superman.
Yeah, he's like an inversion of Darkwing, like even down to his costume and stuff. So Darkwing's kind of got like a lot of deep purples and blues. Negaduck has like yellows and like a red. So it's a very like stark contrast when they're standing next to each other. But it's kind of cool because they do like dress as each other to kind of dupe whoever they decide they want to dupe at the time. So like Negaduck will look like Darkwing to pull off heists and give him a bad name, even though he still has, like, the evil black eyebrows. Or Darkwing will dress as Negaduck to, like, infiltrate the idiotic Fearsome Five. So it's
and whenever a lot he of fun does, play he still with retain, that. They still retain whatever the eye mask is.
Yeah, exactly. For whatever reason, to keep the viewers
it's
in line.
It's not very hard to tell whether or not they are the actual person that they say they are. It's really, here's the thing. They all do a really poor job at like whatever their job is. If it's crime fighting, they're doing a poor job.
Yeah, everybody's terrible. If it's perpetrating crimes, you're okay, so you're so bad at either crime fighting or perpetrating crimes that you're losing to the people who are equally terrible at doing their job. So it's just St. Canard is probably fine with just a police force because these idiots just kind of take themselves out of the equation.
Yeah, should feel bad about how you're behaving and like what you're the objective that you're trying to accomplish. You should feel shitty about not being able to accomplish that objective because the things that are standing in your way are equally as shitty.
They're made for each other.
Now, should St. Canard be okay with its police force? Because in Justice Ducks, when they put the force field around the city with no top on it, I really feel like the whole plot could be negated by a helicopter.
Yeah, okay,
are we going to recap on episode 1 and 2, or do we want to jump right into
Briefly, I mean, we've kind of already talked about like the pilots to set it up.
To jump into then Matt's comment about them like dropping the dome over top of St. Canard.
Yep.
Here's my favorite thing is that like at one of the commercial breaks, you come back and Darkwing is just like, oh my God, how long have I been out? And then like a second later, it cuts back to Launchpad McQuack. And he's just like, the Fearsome Five took over the city in 5 minutes. And that's the amount of time that has elapsed like from the point that like Darkwing got knocked out, 5 minutes, Fearsome Five took over the city.
So let's
they were that good at doing this. Why haven't they done this every frickin'
time? I'll tell you why. So this is actually, I believe, the first episode that both the Justice Ducks form and the Fearsome Five actually gets together. I think up until this point, now granted it's only 20 episodes into this thing, so I think up until this point, like Gizmo Duck might have come in as a one-off. Morgana eventually came in as like his love interest. The other two generic kind of fish and dinosaur sidekicks, they came in too. But they hadn't really all worked together. And actually, the kind of arc of these two episodes, it's a two-parter, Just Us, Justice Ducks, parts one and two. The arc of this whole thing is the Justice Ducks learning to work together and Darkwing kind of learning that sometimes he needs them and sometimes they need him. That's his big
And that's
lesson.
The amazing thing is that entire, like, the entire first part of that, this two-parter, is just Darkwing bitching about the fact that he does not want to receive help from other people.
I don't really blame him.
He wants to take the limelight for himself.
I don't blame him, though, because, like, just for an example, he's driving around and in his little motorcycle, and Stegmutt is, for whatever reason, driving a hot dog cart, and he crashes right into him and just pretty much...
Hey, we said he was simple.
Stegmutt got to make ends meet.
Got to make ends meet, man. So that was a little weird. But, yeah, that's the whole point, is them trying to, like, learn to work together. However, on the flip side of that, and this is pretty cool writing, the Fearsome Five, up until this point, like, each of these individual villains, they had their own time squaring off against Darkwing Duck and never quite got the better of him. While now, much like, you know, there was the Justice League and the, I want to say Legion of Doom, but that's like a wrestling thing.
No, it was Sinister Six. This was a direct
Sinister Six. Yeah, I mean, it is with Fearsome Five, but it's kind of like any villainous team up.
Borrowed so many villains from Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, like Hydra Man and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically these guys team up as well, and they get the upper hand for the majority of the two-parter, like literally right up until the very end.
Well, yeah, I mean, they took over the city in 5 minutes, Dave. I mean, like...
Yeah, it was pretty well done. But that's why they haven't done it before, because they haven't teamed up before. So, I mean, the first time is like,
not
okay,
not only did
well.
They take off the city, but they carved out the city to five different districts.
It's like Hunger Games.
That were evidently pre... Exactly. That was already, like, predetermined. They were just like they wander into the area where all the water... Like, Darkwing wanders in, and he's just like, oh, this must be liquid.
Yeah, because there's fucking water everywhere.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Great. You've been out for all of 5 minutes, and you've been able to piece this together, you dumb dumb.
It was... It was tough. It was better than the pilot. The pilot was a little grating, like we talked about before. And like Matt said earlier, they did kind of find their footing by this point. The humor was a little more... It was a little tighter. Writing was a little tighter. But it was still just very slapsticky and just very goofy and very much aimed at, like, a younger audience, which is fine. It's perfectly fine for me. It's just, like, now looking back on it as, like, a 30-year-old, it was difficult for me to sit through at times. There were a couple things that made me laugh, but I wasn't quite as entranced by it as I was when I was a kid. You know?
The thing that made me laugh about the Justice Ducks was I really think that everybody who's in the city of St. Canard would benefit from a class in personal finance.
Why do you say this?
Because there were multiple instances of them trying to pay either Megavolt or Liquidator. Mm-hmm. And, like, two doctors wheeled a wheelbarrow full of cash.
With cash just, like, flying away in the wind,
No, we don't need that extra,
I hope,
like,
this is enough to turn the lights back on.
They
fill a wheelbarrow up, and they just, Matt, you're 100% correct, because I wrote the line down, because I was like, this is so ridiculous. I hope this is enough money to get the power back on at the hospital. Like, oh, my God, like. Just such a crazy amount of exposition. Like, it is just, it's ridiculous. And then at the one scene where they're trying to pay the Liquidator, this woman just goes, this is all of my life savings. And she's just holding loose stacks of money in her hand. Like, she's never heard of a bank before. Like, she's been putting it, like, in a shoebox underneath her bed. And was just like, oh, yeah, I'll save this for a rainy day.
Well, look, man,
like,
crime is running rampant in St. Canard. Oh, I wouldn't trust my money in the bank. The police
also,
are scared
of
chattering teeth.
Yeah, I mean, think of the deflation with Screech McDuck holding all of the gold reserves.
Very true. It's very true.
I mean, your paper money would be literally worthless.
It's like $1,000 for a loaf of bread at St.
Exactly. It's like 2,000% inflation.
Well, no, Dave, that's what he was charging. He was charging the woman a raft. He's like, the Liquidator floods this part of town. You can buy a life raft for a low, low price of $1 million. And she gives him the money, and he goes, payment, or what was it, installment payment plans are available, and just, like, grabs her cash. Like,
the Liquidator.
Freaking ridiculous.
So
no Liquidator.
Good. It's so terrible. God, he was so annoying. But the cool part,
you
I think, was this.
So much of Clayface.
Who, I do? Or Liquidator does?
No, you, yeah, like, you remind me of Clayface.
You of Clayface? Doesn't even make sense.
Because you morph into different.
Matt Hagen.
So, yeah, exactly. Matt Hagen. So, yeah, it was, he reminded me of a lot of Clayface. I know he was based off of, like, Hydra Man or something like that, but I mean, like, it just, There were a lot of elements that were about it that were just a lot of fun.
But we got to get Howell.
No, I think he was probably one of my – out of like the Fearsome Five, I think he may have been my favorite.
Look, I will tell you my favorite part of him is how they defeat him, and we'll get to that in a second. So another thing the Fearsome Five do, they not only take over the city and try to just like basically just extort money from people, they want to take out the Justice Ducks. And they right. nearly achieve it, you know, 80% success rate. So they capture all the idiots. They put them in very specific devices in sort of this Rube Goldberg machine that's like going to step by step take each one of them out. And as they're taking each one of them out, whatever happens to that person causes the next thing in like a chain reaction to affect. So like it's like they plug in Gizmo Duck and like flip a switch and like electrocute yep. him. The electricity from that, I'm trying to remember what it goes to. Oh, it goes to a heat lamp. That is like frying Neptunia because she's like bolted to this to the floor, which somehow turns on this big like bellows thing, which sucks the air out of a glass tube that they've captured Stegmutt in for some reason. So they're asphyxiating him, and they've got Morgana trapped in like this vice that is slowly crushing her head. I guess I found that kind of disturbing.
It was weird.
That was a little disturbing. And so then Darkwing's just kind of loose. There's a point where the Fearsome Five wants to revolt against Negaduck because he's a real jerk and he calls them losers all the time and he hates them, but he needs them for like means to an end. They want to revolt against him. So cue Darkwing Duck dressed as Negaduck walking into the fray when they decide that they want to attack him. That was kind of a funny moment for me.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I want to back up like 2 seconds. Okay, so like the thing that was amazing about like the Fearsome Five deciding that they were going to like conspire against Negaduck was that they used the actual phrase, like,
yeah.
we should kill
yeah,
him.
It wasn't even like we should overthrow him.
We should get rid of him. Like, we should kill him.
And they looked at the camera.
Flat out, they just looked at the camera, break the fourth wall, and they just go, we should kill
him. Super creepy.
Like,
but then they flipped. As soon as Negaduck walked back in, they're just like, oh, shit, never mind, not a good idea.
Oops, screwed that up. No, because Darkwing Duck shows up as Negaduck. Right.
With his purple and mask, though. So
right, and so they're, half yeah, Negaduck. So nobody's fooling anybody. And so, like, they all decide, like, in this fit of rage, they're just like, yeah, let's get Darkwing Duck. Let's get Negaduck dressed.
You got it.
Like, dressed who is as Darkwing. Right. And so they attack Darkwing Duck dressed as Negaduck. And then Negaduck comes in and is just like, what the fuck is going on here? Like,
and then he gets
What are you dum-dums doing? Like, are you seriously trying to get rid of me? Because I will get rid of all of them.
Yeah. So he threatens them, kind of whips them back into shape. And then they've got the whole Justice Ducks rounded up. The funny thing was they basically just had Darkwing Duck standing there. And after all these crazy machinations, Negaduck just comes after him with a chainsaw. Like, that, right. that was his entire plan.
He goes full American Psycho yep. on him.
I was going to say, wasn't that the tilde key in Doom?
Right, exactly. Just like out of nowhere, just chainsaw time. I'm trying to remember how he got out of it. He had a well-placed shot that, like, so here's the thing with this Rube Goldberg machine. Once you take out one of those pieces, the entire machine is defunct now at this point. Yep. So he, like, shoots one of them, breaks the generator, frees Gizmo Duck. Gizmo Duck cuts his way out, or cuts the glass to let Stegmutt out. Basically, everybody is free at this point. It's just kind of like a free-for-all. So the Justice Ducks are fighting the Fearsome Five. Everybody's kind of, like, paired off, and they're squaring off against their others. I don't remember 100% how they took care of everybody except Liquidator. So if you guys remember how they defeated the rest of them, I think Morgana turned a bunch of them just into stuff.
Just into pudding. I mean, it doesn't...
Well, there's
and technically, wasn't it more jello than pudding?
Yeah, so...
Because they did retain a mold.
They did. Well, he set up. He was cold enough that he just set instantly. Yeah, so Liquidator, pretty much 100% water. How do you defeat something that's 100% liquid? You just
so douse you and it. I, you and I have talked about this.
Yes, offline.
So
yeah.
Yours was more like much more murderous than mine was. I was like, yeah, add any thickening agent.
Yeah, you and, just wanted to add like yeah, like a gelatin or.
Yeah, know. Yeah, yeah. What was your
I said if suggestion? You're gonna do it right and just dump cement on him. And guess what? He's done. That's game over for Liquidator. He is no longer a problem because he's done.
That's dark. That's almost as dark as looking to the camera right now and just being like, let's kill him.
Now they're talking about me as the host of the podcast. So if you guys don't hear from me in future weeks, the gruesome twosome has taken me out here.
Hey, guys, if you see Dave, Let's kill him.
I'm going to come dressed
We're
as
going
Sean
to kill
next
you.
Week. I'll come dressed as Nega Sean. Did you guys, we're at about 45 minutes here, so I want to do some miscellaneous stuff. Did you guys, do you have anything else from these episodes, or did you watch any other episodes that you want to kind of flavor the discussion with?
I didn't have a chance to. Yeah. I'd like to go back and I'd like to watch a couple more. Yeah. I watched the four episodes, the first two, and then the Justice Docs.
Right.
I think it was episode 20 and 21.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back and I'd like to watch more because I remember watching this show very fondly, but... When Dave, you and I talked about this a little bit offline earlier today, I've been kind of encountering this thing lately where I remember shows fondly, and then I watch them now, and I don't know if I get frustrated, I don't know if I'm too cynical, or if I'm having just a problem digesting some of the things that should be more slapstick and enjoyable,
right?
And maybe I'm enjoying them now, but like I take note of the things that I find to be peculiar.
Yeah,
in each one of the shows?
I think it's kind of the double age. Go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, I think, you know, Darkwing Duck kind of, you know, is the first show that I watched a ton of compared to the other shows we've reviewed recently. And the thing that I've really kind of noticed is that it's that, you know, looking back on it, considering all the other shows that we've watched between, you know, everything else that we've reviewed up until now. You know, Darkwing Duck was really, you know, it was really great for the time.
Right.
But when you fast forward, it's like, okay, yeah, that was like, that was real campy. But at the same time, like, you know, rewind back to like 1993, you know, talk about loving that show. I mean, in 1993, I was 10. So I was like, you know, just really hitting the stride of the show. So, I mean, it, you know, I think that's why I loved it so much. But looking back on it, I'm like, you know, when you watch a show like that when you're 31, you're just like, good Lord, what was I thinking?
Yeah. It's like watching and, you know, your kid's show today or something. It's like,
exactly.
Oh,
and I really felt that way with episodes 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I was like, dear God, I remember this totally differently. But with Justice Ducks, it was, you know, and that's when I was like, okay, this is what I remember.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, I remember it totally differently when I was 10. But, you know, watch episodes 1 and 2 and then watch Justice Ducks 1 and 2. And they're, you know, it's almost like a totally different show.
Yeah, they did definitely come into their own. And this is kind of the pros and cons of doing this show, which I think is awesome. The pros and the cons. Because for us, we get to go back and revisit some things that like we remember fondly from our childhood or that other people who have that opinion, they share with us and they ask us, you know, definitely check this show out. At the same time, it kind of ruins those childhood memories where if you don't go back and watch it 20 years later, you're like, man, that was a great show, and it'll always be a great show. And now that we go back and watch them sometimes, that luster kind of starts to shake off a little bit, and they don't quite stand the test of time. So that's kind of the pros and cons of doing this, but it's good because we kind of encourage listeners to do that too. Definitely go back and check them out. I don't want to ruin them for you, but go back and check them out and kind of approach it with like an objective kind of viewpoint. Yeah, Sean.
I know that I had mentioned this to you earlier today, Dave, but like I'm now calling this the Voltron problem.
The Voltron effect.
Yeah, the Voltron effect. And that the Voltron effect is that like I loved Voltron when I was a kid and I remember watching it on television very fondly.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I had the toys, I was emphatic about it. And then I remember watching it when it first came out on DVD, like mid-2000s, and like I Netflixed the entire like first season of it, watched it, and like I only got maybe like 5 to 10 episodes in, and I was just like, what the hell am I watching? Like it blew my mind.
Yeah.
So like this show did not go full Voltron for me.
Yeah.
And I should say that like I did end up watching like a couple episodes of Voltron this afternoon.
Just for fun.
Just for fun because I wanted to see like if it was still like if it still happened. And I'll be honest with you, like the first two episodes of Voltron didn't even go full Voltron for me. Like I'm still trying to figure out what happened to me like back in like 2006 whenever they released it, like made me like question the cartoons that I had been watching as a kid. But I mean, like, this Voltron effect is real, and I mean it's very nostalgia based, you know, as much of this podcast is.
Yeah,
and so
definitely.
You know, being able to look back on some of these things, like I'm curious what Voltron effect other people have had watching other shows that they loved when they were younger.
I'm sure
and now
we're
how
have
they
more.
Compare now.
Yeah, we're right. definitely going to have more as we do more and more shows. I think some of it is just inevitable. It's a maturity that you have, hopefully, from the time you're 10 to the time you're 30. You've obviously got more maturity just with life experience and how you view things. For me, I spend most of my time like looking at movies and TV shows, either to write up the news on them or to actually critically review them. So, again, that's kind of a double-edged sword because now I don't enjoy as much as I used to because I have to look at it with a critical eye, and that kind of takes a lot of that just basic level enjoyment out because I have to just be like, it had a good premise, but the writing was terrible, the blocking was weird, you know, the lighting, all that technical kind of stuff. So now it's more difficult for me to go back and enjoy something as very light and family-friendly and kid-friendly, something like Darkwing Duck. Because I nitpick, even though I don't want to nitpick. I just want to sit there and enjoy it. So I think that's just part of, like, life. If I came on this podcast and told you that, like, Darkwing Duck remained my favorite thing ever, then you might want to
maybe question me.
And that's not saying anything about any viewers out there who have all 90 episodes on Laserdisc and still enjoy watching.
I would go Laserdisc.
Yeah, we're coming back. Laserdisc. For the kids out there who don't know what Laserdiscs, just Google it. You'll see a big, like a 4 foot wide shiny disc.
It's a shiny record.
It's a big shiny record.
I'd recommend watching the first two episodes of the show, if you can
really the pilot, you want to recommend them?
Well, here's
yeah, yeah. I would recommend
Sean. Let me jump on that for a second. I would say watch those two, and then watch any later two episodes.
Any other two?
No. You assholes got to let me finish. All right, I will not. You shut up, you. No, I think you need to watch. I think you need to watch the pilot to just appreciate some of the older episodes that are in the season. Right. Because I mean, hey, look, every pilot is a little bit rough.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to find their voice. They're a little rough around the edges. But I mean, like this one particularly hits a lot of notes in terms of like the ego of Darkwing and the motivation for what.
Yeah,
like,
it sets a stage for his character.
Continually reoccurs throughout every single episode. And I think it's good just to note that and just see how that progresses throughout the series.
Very fair.
I would recommend watching the first two episodes. They're the first and the second part of a two-parter. And then going back and looking through any, like Matt said, anything else that's in a future season.
Yeah. Matt, did you have any other specific ones you would recommend? This was your recommendation this week, so I didn't know if you had any other.
You know, I kind of watched, or I'll say that Just Us Justice Ducks, which is a fucking mouthful.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that one.
You know,
is it?
But I'll say that, those are the only two episodes I watched in their entirety of the later episodes.
Right.
I watched about, I'd say maybe the first 5 to 10 minutes of about, half a dozen other episodes just to kind of see, like, is this as bad as I remember? But I know we all wanted to watch the same couple episodes to talk about them, so I really stuck to those. But the thing is that the first two episodes, I mean, it's like kind of a Disney kind of microcosm. Mm-hmm. So watch those two, and then watch really anything past that. Like even if you watch like episodes 3, 4, 5, 6, it gets better from there. But once you get into the later kind of like, call it around episode, mid-40s or so,
right,
it'll get, it gets really a lot better. Like, they come into the plot a little bit more, characters are established, and even though we're not shooting for, award-winning TV here, at the same time, it's a lot more watchable. And I really got back to the, enjoyment of the show that I had when I watched it, in the mid-90s.
Right.
Versus being a lot more critical of it. I mean, yeah, I watched, Justice Ducks 1 and 2 for the critique. But at the same time, I just watched another, a little bit of different episodes. And I was like, this is what I'm getting back to. So definitely watch it.
Yeah, I will say this. We didn't really talk about the Negaverse today, but I think that was one of their stronger storylines because it's pretty cool. Just in a nutshell, real quick, since we're coming up on an hour. It's basically an inverse kind of nightmare version of St. Canard. So it's sort of this other dimension where everything that's good in St. Canard is evil in the Negaverse and vice versa. So they're like there's Drake Mallard's neighbors, I think, that are, they're the family called the Muddlefoots. They're like evil and really terrible in the Negaverse. Negaduck basically rules over
the Negaverse. Well, they're kind of shitty in Saint Canard.
They're shitty in Saint Canard, but they're super, super evil in the Negaverse. And like Sean mentioned earlier in the show, something happens to Goslin in the Negaverse that's a little dark. And that changes a lot of things with Darkwing. He actually becomes sort of villainous for a while there. So it's interesting.
Could it be murder?
Murder. Let's kill murder. Him. So if you want to look for other episodes, which I recommend just like these two guys, watch the first ones. Seek out any episodes with the Negaverse because they do some interesting stuff in there. It's kind of like a fringe level kind of world jumping kind of thing that they have fun with. The convention of everything's kind of, it's like opposite day, so they have a lot of fun with that. But that's pretty much our discussion on Darkwing Duck today. I know a lot of you guys out there were looking forward to this one, remember it fondly as we do. I hope we didn't crush your childhood memories, but if we did, too bad, too late. So you guys have anything coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Oh man,
you got some shows?
Yeah, I've got some shows. You can check it out at WashingtonImprovTheater.com. The first show that I have in a series of six that are going to be going on during July and the early part of August is going to be on Saturday, July 12th at 10 p.m. We are doing improvised TED Talks, or a portion of an improvised TED Talk.
Right.
Yeah.
So not 45 minutes on stage? Okay.
It is not 45 minutes on stage, so it will be – so you can check it out, and you can buy tickets on WashingtonImprovTheater.com. I perform with a group that's called Nox, N-O-X, exclamation point.
That's important. Okay, cool. Anything from you coming up, Matt? You got kind of a busy couple of days.
Yeah, I will be filling my days with a zip code relocation and the planning of a wedding, and then you know, I'm going to be reviewing some various sandwiches that I'll be eating over the next few days.
Nice.
Exactly. Nice. So it can neither be disassembled nor whatever. But, you know, that's kind of my life for the next 2 months. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Kill me.
No, don't do that. Then we got to replace you, and I don't want to do that. The only thing for me, I got nothing personal coming up, but our site, Collider.com, will be heading to Comic-Con in San Diego this year. Hopefully a lot of you guys who are listening either have gone or would like to go or would like to just know more about it. So when Comic-Con happens at the end of July, God, it's July already, make sure to head over to Collider.com and check out all the coverage. We'll have a ton of stuff from Hall H, everything in between, Ballroom 20, all that good stuff. So definitely
now,
check us
Dave,
out there.
Can I expense my trip to Comic-Con to this show?
Absolutely. You can expense it.
Fantastic.
I will send it over to our non-existent accountant. We'll pay,
fantastic.
We'll pay with all the podcast monies.
I just imagine you and Sean wheeling a wheelbarrow of money.
Yeah, I hope this is enough.
San Diego.
It's just full of, it's just full of Bitcoin.
Is this enough?
Is this
enough
that,
to turn the Knights
back? It's Bitcoin that Dave purchased from the Silk Road
True
Bitcoin
story.
Dispensary. Yeah,
not a true
enough.
Story.
Nobody
true
gives
story.
A shit about this. No.
I borrowed it from the Winklevosses.
So if you want to find more of us idiots, you can find us over at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. That's morning with a U. You can also find us at our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You want to check us out on Twitter, it's at MorningTunes, again with a U. That's morning with a U, by the way, not tunes with a U, in case I've confused everyone.
I hope nobody knows how to spell.
It's probably like MORING. It's like hitching your song to the.
Dave, you're confusing the dyslexics in our audience.
Well, so Helter, our buddy Helter, will have a tough time finding us. So that's most of our contact information. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Claw MD. That's DrClawMD. Sean, where can we find you on the Instagrams and the tweets?
You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
And Matt on Twitter?
On Twitter and Instagram at MattSF07.
Okay, and as I think we might have mentioned, there is the good old-fashioned American holiday of July 4th coming up this week. In honor of that Independence Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, buddy, we will be taking on, and I don't think any of us have watched this because it's a relatively new show compared to what we've done. We're going to be taking on Liberty's Kids. I know nothing about this other than it's sort of educational and it's set during like the colonial American period. So
God, I hope it follows the children of like John Adams, Thomas Jefferson.
I'm pretty sure it does.
God. I'm pretty sure it's a Johnny Tremaine.
So, yeah, I don't know. Oh, we're going to find out with you guys. So if you guys out there are interested in listening to us, you can tune in next week after the 4th of July holiday and have yourself a very safe and enjoyable Independence Day, both to my co-hosts and to the listeners out there. And
I'm looking forward to crapping on history next week.
Oh, boy, it's going to be a good one. It could be a pleasant surprise. We don't know. We'll find out. Until
the NSA heard that, Sean.
Yeah, fair enough. We might not be here next week. So have a safe and happy 4th and enjoy your weekend. And we will talk to you next time on Saturday Morning Cartoons.